Good morning. We're here. Okay. Praise the Lord. Happy Father's Day. Thank you to all the fathers out there and all the earthly fathers for all the guidance and blessings that you bestow upon your children, your next generations. We give thanks to our Heavenly Father who guides and directs us. On a daily basis, and is there for us whenever we look to Him. So let's just open a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and this time we could come together and just open Your Word and think of You and spend time together, praising You. And we just pray that Your will and Your Word would go forth, and that Your message would resonate with Your people, Lord, and we just pray that Your will be done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to read from Proverbs 3. If you want to turn to that, please. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil." These are the verses that I try to live my life by.
Thank you, Anthony. This was a really enjoyable message to work on. Anthony was interested, and so we spent some time working together and outlining this and studying together, and it was a really a blessing. And as it is often stated by those who have the privilege of speaking, that it is a blessing to spend the time in the Word, and as much as it is a little bit nerve-wracking doing the whole public speaking thing. When guided by the Lord, it is a lot smoother than I could ever hope. So it was very enjoyable to put this together, and hopefully you also receive a blessing from it. We take a look at Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." So again, with Father's Day and the guidance that we look for, I figure we go to Proverbs with the wisdom that we can get from this. So there are many parallels of this verse throughout the Bible. And as we have said many times before, when we see repetition in the Bible, and when we hear repetition amongst God's people, we know that that is likely a message that the Lord wants us to really pay attention to, because the Lord knows His audience. He knows who He's dealing with. He knows how often we need to hear what He wants us to do so that we can abide in His will and do the things He's asked us to do. So we're going to turn to Matthew 22, and we're going to start at verse 34, please. Matthew 22, starting at verse 34, says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' And Jesus said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the laws of the prophets.'" Jesus gave us these simple commandments. Should be easy enough for us to follow and abide in His word. But despite the commandments being very simple, they're not always easy to keep at the forefront of your mind. So The idea is with God, with the Lord God as our primary focus, we're more able to live for Him and by His and abide in His will. Proverbs 16:20 says, he who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. There we have that trust in the Lord again. As we spend time in His Word, we will understand Him and His purpose for our lives better. A wise man will put his trust in the Lord God that will help him abide in God's plan, which will lead him to a happy life. Again, not always easy, but we can take great joy in knowing that we're doing God's will. We're abiding in His plan for us. And we can see that as we bear fruit for the Lord. Psalm 18:1 through 3 says, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Our lives should be so easy if we just lean into these verses. But again, to be able to do that, we need to be spending time in His Word. We need to be spending time in His presence. And that'll help us withstand the earthly trials we face on a day-to-day basis. We know that God will protect us. We know that God wants to provide us for all the things we want and all the things He knows we need. He's just asked us to show our obedience by asking Him. He knows what we need and what we want. He wants us to build our relationship with Him. He asks us to come and ask Him, and He'll provide it for us. If we can go to John 15, verse 9. We can see more of Him providing for us. John 15, starting at verse 9, says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you, and abide in my love. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all the things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you, and you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Again, repeating the commandments. Love the Lord. Love each other. And then the Lord wants to give us joy, wants to make us whole and make us happy. He wants to give us, again, He wants to give us the things that we need. It reminds me of the passage in Luke 11 that Jason Dean mentioned last week when he talked about our earthly fathers. It references, how much better can our Heavenly Father give us the gifts and the things that we want and need when our earthly fathers, being evil, know how to give us good gifts? And so that brought me back there. Psalm 118, verse 8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. With any decision, especially hard decisions, we want to put our faith in the Lord, and He'll answer us which path we should travel now, because that can change over time. He can ask you to go a way that may not seem the way you want to go long term, but you may need to grow a little bit. He may need to lean to Him. You may need to look to Him. Which reminded me of Psalm 119, 105, which says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Once again, reminding us that the more we spend time in prayer and in His word, the more we can better understand why He's put us in the place that He's put us at any given time in our lives. He wants to guide us. He wants us to ask Him. Like Mr. Szczesinski had mentioned last week, once we know what God wants to happen, it's another big step to take a moment, spend more time in His Word, spend more time with God to really understand how God's going to make it happen. It's not once we know what to do, we can just do it. We want to submit to His will, so we don't end up doing the right thing the wrong way. He wants to reward our obedience that will help our relationship grow. He doesn't need us to do it for Him. He's already got the plan. He's already got the path set before us. We just need to be obedient to Him. Moving on to Proverbs 3, verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. When we read this together, it made us think of Moses leading the Israelites out of Pharaoh's control as God was leading them out of Egypt to the promised land. So if we can turn to Numbers chapter 20, starting at verse 7, please. Numbers chapter 20, starting at verse 7. Numbers 20, starting at verse 7, says, Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring forth water for them out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? And Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation and the animals drank. So he got what he wanted. He got the people got the water. But unfortunately, it continues with the idea that in verse 12 it says, Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and said, Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given you. This was the water at Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and He was hallowed among them. Because Moses did not follow the Lord's command in faith, knowing that it would happen just as the Lord had provided him the plan, he ended up knowing the Lord's will, knowing the Lord's plan, and having it happen. The people got the water, and the animals got the water. But he didn't go about it the right way. He followed God's plan. He got God's results by doing a different way. And so he unfortunately did not get to enter the the land which was promised to the Israelites. In Proverbs 11:5, the righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. We notice there's a lot of, Proverbs have a lot of resonating and reoccurring themes. Again, we need to hear it, we need to remember it. That wisdom only comes through time and repetition. So here we have the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. We are born sinners. And even by our best efforts and intentions, our glory is like filthy rags in compared to God's perfectness. Thinking of God's perfect love, it brings us to the cross. In Luke 23, starting at verse 32. Luke 23, starting at verse 32. Luke 23, starting verse 32, says, there were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right hand and the other on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered and saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ and the chosen of God. So here, even when Jesus is being punished for our sins, he's still interceding for us, for mercy for us on our behalf with God the Father. In verse 36, the soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And the inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. Then one of the criminals who hanged and blasphemed him, saying, If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. So we have a lot of people around here, the people looking on, the rulers, the soldiers, and even the criminal next to him were all taunting him and challenging his authority. And Jesus chooses to be obedient to his heavenly Father amidst all of this trial. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing that you are under the same condemnation, and we indeed justly for receiving, we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he said to Jesus, Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And we know when God says it, you know it's going to happen. We just have to be obedient to him to see how and when he'll bring it to pass. In verse 44, now it was about the sixth hour and darkness, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus had cried out with a loud voice and said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. I appreciate the imagery here. Not only do we have, it's not just a regular day. We have darkness for 3 hours in the middle of the day. It was an unnatural event. We have the temple, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom, torn in two. And then in the midst of this, we have the Lord, again, talking to God the Father, not because he has to, but he's doing it for our benefit so we can understand what's going on. And he does this several times throughout his ministry, but and throughout the Bible. But it's so encouraging that he cared so much about us and how we can understand what was going on, that he was willing to have this conversation with God the Father as he was dying on the cross for us. And then in 47. So when the centurion saw what was happening, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." And the whole crowd came together in the sight, to that sight, seeing what had been done, and they beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. It leads me to think of Romans 5, 6 through 11. As we see the Lord's sacrifice, it allows us to return to his presence. Originally, Adam and Eve had face-to-face communion with God in the Garden of Eden. And because of the sacrifice of Christ, we can look forward to when we're in heaven again, we can also have that face-to-face communion with God. In Romans 5, verse 6, starts off, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." Which reminds me of another verse, which is, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Coming back to Proverbs 3, verse 7 says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." A couple other verses in Proverbs that have a similar theme was Proverbs 16, 2 says, "All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit." And Proverbs 21, 2, "Every way is right in it. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts." It doesn't take much to convince us that we're right. We know we're right. We made that decision. Of course we knew what we were doing. But we don't want to live by earthly standards. We don't want to just be right for those around us. We want to be right for God. And so we want to live to that higher standard. Christ died for us. We want to live for him. Brought me to Isaiah 53, 3 through 6, which says, starting at verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted of grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. The prophecy of our Lord Jesus coming to this earth and being despised by those he came to save. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Thinking here we have, we like sheep have gone astray, each one of us to our own way. A lot of times people have a question. Well, you might need Christ to die for you, for your sins. Not me. I've been good enough. I can make it on my own. I'm not that bad. I'll be all right. Which brings me to Romans 3:21 through 26, which says, Romans 3 starting at verse 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law of the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sounds like an answer. Being freely justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness because of his forbearance. God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Well, that kind of settles that. There's not one of us who could fulfill the law. The only one who could was Jesus, and he died on the cross for us. We all need salvation through Christ. And the next question that often comes up is, how do I know I've done enough to be saved from the penalty of my sins? And so I went to 1 John 5:11 through 13, which says, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And he who has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the Son, in the name of the Son of God." This reminds me of what Clayton mentioned this morning, that we know it's finished. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding for us. We know it's taken care of. God knows we have questions, and he already has the answers for us. It's just a matter of us asking and being willing to listen to whatever, to his message. He wants us to build a relationship with him, and if you want to build a relationship, you have to spend the time talking and listening to him, reading his word. As we mentioned before in John 15, at the end of the verse, verse 16, "Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you." The next question is, why would God send his perfect Son to the earth to die on the cross and raise again on the third day? And so that brings me to a verse mentioned twice this morning. And so I'll go for the trifecta. Thank you, Jordan and Andy, for winding it up for me. But John 3:16 and 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." The only answer here is his love for us. And that is all we need is his love. So if you would please sing with me number 220 in the Green Book, "He Lives."
Salvation to impart, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. And the day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christ. Lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives. He lives, says Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day you've given us and your love to us, Lord. And we just praise you for your goodness to us and your blessings, Lord, and your guidance and all the countless blessings you've bestowed upon us each and every day. Pray that your word would go forth and resonate as you see fit, Lord. We take great joy in knowing that your word does not return unto you void, and your message will go forth. We just praise you for your goodness to us, and thank you for this time we can spend together. In Jesus' name, amen.